Okay, let's go ahead. I'll leave it to you. Speak loud enough so we can record it, but it'll pick it up.
Does Krishna enjoy more with interacting with Jiva Tattva, Krishna Tattva, or Shakti Tattva?
Krishna's Shakti is what enables him to enjoy. And that Shakti is personified in Srimati Radharani. And the jivas, conditioned souls, Krishna really doesn't, in one sense, when it comes to rasa or interaction, he doesn't interact with conditioned souls. But rather he interacts with conditioned souls through liberated souls. And the liberated souls are also those jiva tattvas are also empowered by the chit shakti. So although they're not shakti tattva, but they have the same essential empowerment, ladini and samvit. But as Srila Prabhupada says, or he quotes Jiva Goswami, he says that Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is intrinsically different than himself. In his own swarup, or his own internal potency. Is that okay?
I was reading in Navaranchi Mahima, you were saying that there was a book about Akadashi, and it was from a devotee who I think has left now. And sometimes devotees, I think they say, oh, we can't read a particular person's book if they've left and they're not in good standing anymore. But if they wrote the books when they were in good standing, then aren't they still authoritative even if they leave?
It's not even a written, it's just a translation of Padma Purana. It's just the Ekadasi Mahatmya part of Padma Purana. So as good as a translation it is, it's not something that someone composed themselves, or it's really just a scripture. I would say that in that sense, not a problem. That's not a problem. Reading that book, or is it reading about the different Ekadasis.
Is it a problem if it's a book that a devotee has written, which is like his insights, and then
that's a little more challenging. Someone may have been in good standing, but when someone then is presenting philosophy, some of their own insight or understanding, you don't necessarily know. Someone may not have been in a fallen condition, but what led him to it, it didn't just happen overnight. So if someone's then giving Siddhanta or philosophy, and that may also be imperfect, or it may also be tinged with whatever caused him to fall down. So in that sense, it's sort of better to stay distant. For instance, Prabhupada said that we shouldn't read Gaudiya Math books published after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. And doesn't necessarily mean that things that they said were wrong. May be philosophically correct, but then the question is, well, you can't separate the work in one sense from the author, so what does it really represent? And in that sense, probably even the Ekadasi book, I think there are some different versions out there. It's probably sort of safer, because when you read a book, you're identifying in one sense with the author or the translator. And because one thing can lead to another. So no harm in playing it safe. There's never any harm in playing it safe, because ultimately you can find whatever you want in Srila Prabhupada's books. Garlands. Something else.
I was wondering, Grandmaj, when you refer to in one of the books, Lord Chaitanya gives the benediction that he can change your constitutional position. That's where he's offering. Wherever you've fallen from, he can take you to Goloka, to Madhurya Ras. And I just wondered how you're introduced, if your constitutional position has changed, how that's introduced to you.
How it's introduced to you?
Yeah.
Well, if it's changed, but the realization of Swarup will take place in the same way. No real indication that there's different ways, and that is that one's a practicing sadhaka, considers himself, whatever his constitutional position is, considers himself to be is a conditioned soul, and then as he becomes purified, she comes to realize that identity that's manifest by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, whether it's new position or constitutional or it's one's original position. Of course, whatever position you have becomes your original position. It all takes place in the same way. But there's although some things like that are mentioned, there's no detailed description of anything other than how a living entity attains Purusharupa by going through the stages of devotional service and ultimately coming to the stage of ecstasy. And then from there to prema. lie down.
I just wondered, with the example of Mother Ranjini, how she left her body, and she was apparently aware of her constitutional position, whether that was very unusual in ISKCON, or there's been many devotees in ISKCON that have become aware of their constitutional positions when they're leaving their body.
As what?
Whether that was unusual.
What was unusual?
That they were aware of their constitutional position before they left.
Why wouldn't you be aware of your constitution? If you become purified, then you're aware of your constitutional position. Doesn't have to be unusual. Death doesn't give you spiritual realization. If you don't attain it in this life, then you have to take another birth, unless there's some special type of concession. Either as you're leaving your body, but somewhere along the road, in this sojourn, one has to come to the realized stage. Stopped snowing. I was happy that it was snowing. You have to press the button. Oh, that's it. That's good. Something else?
Special concession would mean if the spiritual master says to you that you have a reserved seat, is that like having a special concession?
If he's made that arrangement with Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, yeah. I assume someone says that on authority. And service counts for a lot. Someone's own spiritual practice is one thing, and then the service that we render is another, and how the Lord values that and how it becomes another proportional aspect of our spiritual advancement, or the benefit that we get from the service that we've rendered.
As well as Krishna.
Say that again.
Should we always be remembering our spiritual master as well as Krishna?
I can't hear.
Should we always be remembering the spiritual master as well as Krishna?
What did she say?
She's saying should we always remember the spiritual master as well as remember Krishna?
I don't know. It's not a mechanical thing. I mean, according to what And then what about remembering Lord Chaitanya, and what about remembering Srimati Radharani, and what about, there's so many other things. There's only so much the mind can do at once. Good thing. It's somewhat limited in its scope. So whether you remember the spiritual master, whether you remember Krishna, whether you remember Srimati Radharani, then the benefit is all the same. They're all interconnected. And there's no real distinction in that sense. They're all the same transcendental principle. Remembering the other. Offering.